So we're reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 through to chapter 12, verse 8. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. How many years anyone may live, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless.
Thanks, Chris, and good morning to you all. It's so nice to be back after a few weeks of holiday. We got away back to Geelong, saw lots of family, had a great time, but it really feels homely coming back here. It feels really nice to be with my church family this morning, worshipping God together. We are dipping into the book of Ecclesiastes this summer, and today we come to Ecclesiastes 11. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we prepare to look at his word together. O Lord God, our Creator, we want to remember you now. We want to learn from you and love you and understand our lives in light of your wisdom. And so we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit into each and every heart here this morning, and that you would move with power so that we can see Jesus and find life in him. We pray this, Lord, for your glory and for our good. Amen. Well, growing up in my house as a kid, you might have sometimes heard us say that someone was a bit of an Eeyore. I'm not sure if that's a phrase that you use. I don't know if you're familiar with Eeyore. He was a character in the Winnie the Pooh books written by A.A. Milne. Eeyore is an old grey donkey, and he's one of the gloomiest, most pessimistic, glass half empty, or pretty much completely empty, characters you'll ever meet. I'd like to share a few quotes with you now, just so you can get a feel for Eeyore, okay? It's the only cloud in the sky, and it's drizzling right on me. Somehow I'm not surprised. Don't worry about me. Go and enjoy yourself. I'll stay here and be miserable. Could be worse. Not sure how, but it could be. And one more. End of the road. Nothing to do. No hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house. Now, maybe you know someone in your life who's a bit of an Eeyore. Or maybe it's you. Maybe you share his tendency to be perpetually glum and pessimistic. If you've been following with us through the book of Ecclesiastes over the past few weeks, you would be excused for thinking that the teacher in this book is a bit of an Eeyore. He has been saying to us, life is random and wearisome. And we work and we gather possessions and we seek to enjoy life and find pleasure. But you know, in the end, it all just fades away. The first time you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, it's actually quite shocking. We wonder if these words belong in the Bible. And yet we also can't deny that they resonate with us. They resonate with us at quite a deep, painful level because we all know that the world can be unfair and harsh and sometimes just downright disappointing. It might be a rained-out holiday. It might be gastro. It might be stress at work or boredom or unemployment or a failed exam or a lack of direction in life. It may be struggles in your marriage or pornography or the cold-heartedness of a friend or the feeling of being left out. It may be miscarriages, or loneliness, or infertility, or singleness, or the loss of a loved one. It may be pride, or greed, or sex trafficking, or police injustice, or domestic abuse. It may be a chronic illness or pain, a mental illness that no one seems to understand, depression that goes on for decades. And don't think that being a Christian will save you from any of that. Oh no. The teacher in Ecclesiastes knows full well that the sorrows of living in this fallen, cursed world will affect Christians and non-Christians alike. And the teacher says, good luck trying to find any rhyme or reason to it. Now, I know that that all sounds quite Eeyore-ish and depressing, doesn't it? But you know, the teacher isn't actually an Eeyore because his goal is to help us cope with life's disappointments. He wants us to discover the secret to actually living a life of joy and happiness and meaning in the midst of all of that. And isn't that exactly what we want? And so today, as we approach the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher is going to let us in on the secret of how to live that kind of life. Have a look in your Bibles there. I hope you've got one open. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. The teacher sums it up for us in three key words. These are key words. Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. If you can do that, if you can remember your Creator, then you can live a life of joy in spite of all of life's tragedies and disappointments. But what does it really mean for us to remember our Creator? Well, our passage gives us five practical ways that we can remember our Creator. Okay, so five practical things. We're going to move pretty quickly. The first way we can remember our Creator is by enjoying the light. We need to enjoy the light. Let's see what the teacher says there, chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. Look around you, says the teacher. Life is full of light. It's full of good things that are sweet and pleasing, and we need to appreciate them, savor them, treasure them. The taste of coffee in the morning, a book or a TV show that grips you and absorbs you, finishing a project at work, graduating school, getting your P's, making love to your wife, watching fireworks explode on New Year's Eve, hearing hundreds of people on a Sunday morning singing praise to God, admiring a piece of art, going for a bushwalk. The list could go on and on, but the teacher's point is clear. However many years anyone lives, let them enjoy them all. The teacher is describing an active choice, a habit, a discipline. It doesn't come naturally to us, especially those of us who are a little more Eeyore-ish. But the wise person will be going through life scanning for happy things, things to appreciate, things to give thanks for. When I think of this, I think of my granddads and ice cream. I don't know why, but both of my granddads had a great love for ice cream. If they were taking us to the shops, they would often say, "We should buy some ice cream, shouldn't we?" And then as dinner was nearly done, they would very often say, "Now, shall we have some ice cream?" And then as they sat there holding the bowl, taking a mouthful of ice cream, they would just have this serene smile on their faces. And it intrigued me because it was so simple, and yet the older I get, the more I think, so profound, seeing these godly Christian men savor a mouthful of ice cream taught me an important lesson. It taught me that the life of a Christian isn't meant to be some kind of stoic, Spartan, miserable existence where you deprive yourself of life's pleasures in order to be more holy and hyper-spiritual. Not at all. Actually, Christians should be the best at enjoying things, because we know the awesome Creator who gave them to us to enjoy. Our God is the most joyful, happy person in existence. And so if you want to be godly, you will be a joy seeker. You will be a happiness hunter. You will be a lover of the light. Perhaps at this point, it's worth speaking a word to those here who've lived a good number of years, those who are well along in life. Isn't it easy to become jaded later in life, to see the many problems, to complain about them, even perhaps to start wishing your life away? Friend, if you're becoming jaded, maybe it's time to grab a scoop of ice cream, crack open a photo album, turn back to God's Word, and remember all God's good gifts to you in the past, right now. So many good things. Most of all, the gift of His Son, Jesus, our Savior and friend. That's the first way we can remember our Creator, by enjoying the light. But at that point, you might wonder to yourself, is the teacher just being naive? Has he forgotten how frustrating and miserable life can be? No, he hasn't. Not at all. See what he goes on to say in verse 8. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. This is the second way we can remember our Creator, by expecting the darkness. We need to expect the darkness. To the person who is all sunshines and rainbows and unicorns, the teacher gives a wise reminder. Expect dark days. Everything in your life may be peachy right now, but believe me, we will all face many days of darkness. That is to be expected because we live in a world that has been ruined by sin and is now under God's curse. Haven't we been reminded of this again just in the past couple of weeks as we've prayed for this young Christian woman in Hobart? Just gotten married, had her first baby. A few days later, suddenly having seizures and put into an induced coma. And by God's grace, she's recovering now. But there's no denying these have been dark days. Watching a young woman lie in a coma when she should be at home with her newborn. What the teacher said back in chapter 3 is right. There is a time for everything. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Last week, ABC News published an article with this title: Tasmania authorities urge hikers to be better prepared following 3 helicopter rescues over the weekend. And it's a common occurrence. People head out into the bush expecting a lovely walk in the sunshine, and they fail to prepare for a storm, a medical emergency, a bushfire, who knows? Be prepared is great advice, not just for when you go out for a hike, but for when you go through life. And the teacher says, prepare now. Prepare while you're young. Or if you missed that, while you're youngish. Remember your Creator now. Put your faith in Jesus now. Read and memorize your Bible now. Develop a habit of prayer in your life now. Soak in His grace and His goodness now. So that one day when the lights go out, you will not find yourself standing in the darkness alone. You'll be standing there holding your Father's hand. And you may have no idea why it all just went so horribly wrong. But you will know that He is in control and you can trust Him. So how can we remember our Creator? First, we need to enjoy the light. Second, we need to expect the darkness. And then third, we need to explore life. Okay, this is the third way we can remember our Creator, by exploring life. See what the teacher goes on to say in verse 9. He's particularly turning his focus now towards those who are young. He says, "You who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." So young people, God wants you to appreciate how good it is to be young. It's a special time in life. Those who are older will tell you that. A time of more health and less responsibilities. A time when laughter comes easier. A time when the future lies before you full of possibilities, with the freedom to take risks. And the time to choose a new direction, if you need to. And so the teacher says, make the most of it while you're young. Go on a short-term mission trip. Challenge yourself. Try something new. Take a risk. You might even like to grow a mustache. Live life to the full. The teacher's advice in verse 9 actually sounds quite similar to the advice of our culture, doesn't it? We hear all around us, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. And here it is in the Bible. But did you notice the teacher adds something? He says, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Why does he add that? Ugh, is that some kind of nasty threat tacked on the end? He's saying, have fun, yeah, but remember that God hates fun. And whatever you do, he'll punish you for it later. No, I think he's actually saying the very opposite. He's saying, live life to the full, but as you do, remember you can only ever really live your life to the full if you live your life with God. I mean, you can't go four-wheel driving without a four-wheel drive. You can't make coffee without coffee beans, and you can't be truly happy, he says, without God and without going God's way. And so, young people, hear this, please, as you seek happiness, and do. Seek happiness. Be sure to do that
as you seek God. Remember that God created every good thing and He knows the best way for you to enjoy it. Now is the time to learn that the happiest life is a life of worship, a life of humility and contentment, a life of serving others, a life of living for the kingdom of God. Okay, so how can we remember our Creator and live a life of joy in this messed up world? We need to enjoy the light, but also expect the darkness. We need to explore life. But now, fourth, we also need to expel anxiety. This is the fourth way we can remember our Creator, by expelling anxiety. In verse 10, the teacher says, "So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless." Life is full of burdens and confusions, but if you focus on them, if you wallow in them, your joy will be eaten up. Anxiety steals joy, doesn't it? And so we must actively fight it. Thankfully, as Christians, we have the perfect weapons for fighting anxiety. We have a God who has promised to care for us. And Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And so we pray. We shoot arrow prayers. We tell our Father our worries and we trust Him. And I'm not saying this is easy. I know that full well. But the teacher's advice is wise. Don't make peace with anxiety. Remember your Creator, who is good and kind and powerful. Keep believing that He is with you. Keep believing that He will bring you through. So, how can we make the most of our lives on this earth? We need to remember our Creator. As we enjoy the light, but also expect the darkness. As we explore life, but also expel anxiety. Now, fifth, and finally, there is still one thing left that the teacher calls us to do in order to remember our Creator, and that is to embrace eternity. We need to embrace eternity. You might have noticed that woven through our passage, even as the teacher has been giving us this call to enjoy life, he's also been giving us these sobering reminders that our lives won't last forever. You see there at the end of verse 8, he says, "Everything to come is meaningless." And again, at the end of verse 10, "Youth and vigor are meaningless." And then, end of chapter 12, verse 8, "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher, "everything is meaningless." Now that word, this is important, that word meaningless is the Hebrew word hevel. And it literally means breath or vapor. Everyone say hevel, hevel. Great, you're speaking Hebrew, it sounds good. Hevel literally means breath or vapor. It's like the breath that you breathe out on a frosty Launceston morning, and it puffs out of your mouth, and then it just vanishes, doesn't it? That is what our lives are like. They are like that breath. So when we read meaningless, the teacher's not saying our lives have no value, but he is saying they're fleeting, like fairy floss. Looks substantial, colorful, sweet, delicious. You place it on your tongue and it's just gone. The Greek philosopher Socrates once said, "Our lives are but specks of dust falling through the fingers of time. Like sands of the hourglass, so are the days of our lives." And in chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, the teacher drives this home for us with a very powerful, moving poem about old age and death. You see what he says? Read with me chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. He's describing the troubles of old age as being like a gathering storm. And the light starts to fade and the rain falls. And then before you know it, just as the clouds are starting to part, more clouds come. The troubles just keep coming in old age, one after the other, so quickly you can barely even catch a break. And then he shifts in verses 3-5, and the teacher starts comparing the body of an elderly person to an old crumbling down house. Have a look at these amazing words. When the keepers of the house tremble. These are the old man's hands. The keepers that guarded his body for so many years, protecting and providing and defending, but now they begin to tremble, to shake. And it says, the strong men stoop. His legs, the strong men begin to stoop and bend. And then it says, the grinders cease because they are few. You know what the grinders are, don't you? Our teeth begin to fall out. And then it goes on, those looking through the windows grow dim. This is the fading of our eyesight. The doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. The doors to the street are our ears. And as we lose our hearing and grow deaf, we feel increasingly isolated from the bustling world around us. And then it talks about when people rise up at the sound of birds, sleep becomes difficult in old age. The elderly often find themselves waking up with the birds, if not before. It goes on, people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. The elderly become more cautious, more fearful, afraid of a fall. They end up preferring to stay at home. And then it says, the almond tree blossoms. Picture a tree in Israel, an almond tree with so many blossoming white flowers, it just looks like a head of beautiful white hair. And then the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred. Our energy and our enthusiasm fade. We lose our desire to eat, to make love, perhaps even to live. And then we die. See what it says, picking up halfway through verse 5. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. Picture this beautiful lamp, shining, golden, hanging on a cord, and then the cord is slashed, and the lamp drops and smashes to the ground. It goes on to describe death as the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It's just as God said to Adam in Genesis 3, as sin entered the world, dust you are and to dust you will return. Friends, this is how our lives on this earth will end. Not with fanfare and fame, but with a whimper and a groan and then death. What a beautiful but heartbreaking poem this is. What are we to make of it? What are we to learn from this? As we wrap up, let me just make a few brief comments. First, this poem reassures us that God sees and understands the pain of growing old and dying. Psalm 116 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." So to the precious elderly saints in our midst, please let this poem encourage you. God wrote these words. He understands that aging is difficult, very difficult. And he is caring for you now and always. Friends, this poem also reminds us none of us will live forever. And so when do we need to remember our Creator? Now. A wise man once said, "Many have remembered too late, none too soon." This poem prompts me to ask, where will my eternal home be? What will happen when my spirit returns to God? Am I ready to die? Are you ready to die? You can't avoid death, but there is one way that you can prepare for it, and that is by giving your life to Jesus, by asking him to wash away your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life. And when we do that, we don't need to fear old age or death. With Jesus, we can actually embrace eternity, an eternity of joy with God. Hannah read from Psalm 16 before. That was wonderful. Pleasures forever in the presence of God. My wife's grandfather is currently in his 80s. We had the pleasure of spending time with him over the past few weeks. It was very special to do that, but it was also very difficult because he is currently in the process of losing his memory, which is a horrible, wicked thing, and some of you know that full well. But let me tell you something glorious. That man remembered his Creator in his youth. He loves God. He knows that Jesus died to save him from his sins. So do you know what? Even when his memory gives out and he can no longer remember his Creator, the Lord will still remember him. His name will still be written in the book of life. Let me finish with these words from Jesus in John 6. "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. O God, our great Creator, we thank you that this morning you've helped us to remember you. We thank you for this world you've made full of light and goodness, reflecting you, your joy, your beauty, your loveliness. Lord, we know that our world is so groaning under the curse of sin. We have made such a mess of your world, Lord, but we thank you that you are with us and you are redeeming all things through Jesus, and that if we trust in him and walk with him, we can live a life of joy right now, and we can live a life of perfect joy forevermore with you one day after we die and go to be with you in glory. So Jesus, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. And Father, we pray that every one of us, whether young or old, will listen to the wisdom of this teacher and remember our Creator. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.